This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The project Roads to Our Heritage aims to tell stories of Sabah and Sarawak's traditional music craftsmen through the eyes of fellow musicians. So this is a collaborative effort between musician Alina Murang and renowned local band Stone Bay and Estrange. And I'm going to find out more about their plans to preserve East Malaysian heritage and showcase the beautiful landscapes of these particular estates from Alina and also Awangku Huzriuddin Mahmudin, who is from Stone Bay, or also known as OG, and Rich Lawrence Gimbang, or Rich, from the band Estrange. Welcome, all of you. How are you today?
Hello. Thanks.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining me. So everybody knows you guys, but let's just, for the benefit of those who may not, maybe you guys can just quickly introduce your work as musicians and maybe share a little bit about your bands and your brand of music. Maybe we can start with you, Rich.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, my name is Rich. Also, you can commonly call me Richel. But yeah, Rich, as everyone know, I'm from the band Estrange. There's three of us, me, Din, and Hanafi. So I'll be representing them today. Estrange been around for about 20 years now.
Yeah.
And our style of music is, yeah, alternative rock, some sort. Yeah.
You've been known as the Dave Grohl. I know you've been called the Dave Grohl of...
Oh, my God. I'm who I am.
Yeah, who needs Dave Grohl comparisons? Yeah, you're much better than that. OG, how about you?
Janggut. Yeah, so my full name is Awangku Huzriuddin bin Penggiran Mahmudin, actually.
Oh, my apologies. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually from Sabah, but I'm here based in Shah Alam. So the band Stone Bay consists of me as vocalist, the songwriter, as well as the guitarist. And then I have Afiq Hakim. He's a Sarawakian, actually. He's a drummer. And then our bassist, Ronnie. And then also another guitarist called, his name is Ichang. So, but basically Stone Bay is a mix of band members from Sabah, Sarawak, and then also Indonesia. So I think we've been around actually since the early 2000s, basically. So when I was based here in KL because of studying, and so I started up the band again here. Actually, Stone Bay, actually, it was from Sabah at that time. So different band members. So we came here, and then we started up a band with new band members and a lot of gigs. We played a lot of gigs. We're not that established like Estrange. We didn't win any like AGL, but we're very indie band. So whatever shows that we can actually play back then is like, we just go in. And yeah, we did been interviewed by BFM before, I think.
Yes, definitely.
I can't remember which year. Yeah, but I mean, BFM has been very supportive of, you know, musicians as well. So we're very thankful for that. And then but again, before we actually get in touch with this project, we didn't know Stone Bay. I mean, what's the what do you call it, the direction would be, because when we started with this project, that basically we were given a lifeline actually from the Kementerian Komunikasi. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to thank YB Menteri Datuk Saifuddin as well for giving this lifeline to musicians, for us to be able to, musicians especially, to be able to do albums, well, you know, do records and do songwriting, because they're giving this lifeline now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, and we're definitely going to talk more about, you know, the project this.
Yes.
Yeah. Alina, maybe you can just give us a brief, you know, introduction of your work.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Alina Murang. I'm from Sarawak, and I play the sape. Sape is a lute instrument traditionally played by men and traditionally played for ritual healing ceremonies. And I've been learning now for 21 years. And what I also do is I go back to the elders and I learn songs from them and I learn stories from them. And then we become inspired by those, or we adapt those and write new songs as well. So sometimes I run solo. Lately, I've been building the band. So I have Joshua Maran, he's my cousin. He's also half Kalabit. Jonathan on guitar, he's from Sabah and he's currently based in Sabah also. And Herman on bass and Jimmy on the drums. Jimmy's specializes actually in Chinese music.
Wow, a nice, very diverse mix of you guys there.
Yeah, it's a very new sound, I think, for the band.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, all three of you, your bands and, you know, with Alina, all of you have come together for this project, which is called Roads to Our Heritage. Maybe you can share how that came about exactly. You know, how did all of you come together to work on it?
Oh, okay. The project itself, it was actually inspired by when I had a meeting with my late grandfather. I call him Nyan. So back in Sabah. He was actually telling me a story about gambus, and he actually has that gambus, you know, that type of instrument played by Brunei suku kaum Brunei in Bengawan. So he was telling me a story about it, and then, but again, because it was mostly on, you know, through lisan, you know, so I couldn't even remember, I didn't even record it, so I didn't remember. So I think it gave me that thinking is like, you know what, you know, we need to be recording all these stories before it gets, you know, if it gets lost, you know, things like that. So it was inspired from there. And then, and it grew because when I spoke, and then because of the pandemic, you know, we need to find a new way of, not just for the musician to survive in this, you know, with all the restrictions. We understand the restrictions is for to, you know, to turunkan, you know, the jangkitan semua. But again, when we met up with Strange and also Elena, and they told them the idea, you know, why don't we do a mini documentary, you know, a documentary series especially, kan? And about this native craftsmen, you know, we want to tell their stories, you know, because craftsmen, we always talk about the musicians. Mm. What about those people, the craftsmen, you know? Mm. Without the craft, there's no music. You know, so let's tell them a story about their side of the story as well. Okay, so but from the lens of Ursula, Elena Murang, Stone Bay, and also Strange. So we met up, and then again I mentioned like KKMM then provided a lifeline where they gave this a grant for musicians, which is called the Digital Kandungan, Dana Kandungan Digital DKD. So we applied for it through with this project as a proposal. And we got it. And right now, we're continuing it.
Excellent. And I guess, you know, for Rich and for Alina, you know, what made you want to come on board with this project as well? You know, what inspired you to get on board?
Listening in, it's already like very intriguing, right? Especially coming from us, who is from Borneo, who's from Sabah and who's from Sarawak. I know there's this need... you know, that feeling from us that we want to show who we are, and then we need to show people more, especially people from KL or Semenanjung, who we are, how our music is about, why we do music, and why is it so special to us. Mm-hmm. And I think this is another platform for us to show why and who we are and stuff like that, identity and stuff like that. Yeah, so that's why I think we are really interested in doing it.
Mm-hmm. Alina, how would what would you like to add to that?
I think for me, I've been, you know, I grew up around these craft makers and grew up around traditional music, traditional instruments. And it's my mom's an anthropologist and she's always into research and the stories behind things and meanings behind things. So it's something that is already very close to my heart. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when the guys had the idea of the project and invited me, of course, I said yes. It's just something that is just very close to my heart.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's quite unfortunate that, you know, the narratives or, you know, the stories or issues concerning East Malaysians is, you know, usually trotted up during Malaysia Day as this sort of like very tokenistic sort of, you know, representation. Oh, okay, we're all one big family. And that's really annoying for me. I'm a West Malaysian. I can't imagine how it must feel like for you. So I suppose this is important, isn't it, to provide those narratives in a consistent and in a way that's lasting.
Yes. You do have every time, sometimes when people ask me, you're from where? I'm from Sabah. Oh, I've been to Kuching. Like, yeah, no, yeah. But I usually would laugh or say, oh, come Mom, man. But again, yeah. Because Sabah and Sarawak was so close. Yeah, I mean, I think we were such one big family, one big island, kan, Borneo. So I think we're okay with it, actually.
Yeah. There's another one when they asked me, what suku kaum are you? And then I'll be like, yeah, Kadazan Dusun. Oh, is that from Sarawak?
Aye.
You know, they don't know, you know? They don't know the difference and they don't know the origin of.
The one that gets to me is, how's Sabah Sarawak? And I'm like, I don't know about Sabah, but
how dare you? You're just
places.
You're just one entity. How dare you?
Yeah.
So I guess
we're very proud, lah, because Sabah Sarawak. Whenever Sabahan and Sarawak they meet up, it's like even though they speak Iban sometimes, can but we're just one big family, lah, I can say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess, you know, I mean, this must also be a nice cathartic way to kind of like, let's dispel all those misconceptions. Let's tell you what this craftsmen, you know, this natives of East Malaysia and their story, right? So, I mean, you guys have spoken about your connection to either Sabah or Sarawak, which is, in some way or another. I guess, you know, maybe you can help qualify what each of you, I mean, what is your ultimate aim for this project, you know, individually, each of you, right? I mean, what are some of the questions that you're hoping to ask and that you're hoping to, I mean, and the answers that you're hoping to find through this? And it's going to be a bit of a mega journey. So tell me a bit about that as well.
Basically, the objective is we need to understand first, right? The culture, I mean, the heritage that we want to bring. Sorry, I mean, from the craftsmen themselves. But our main objective would be once through Roots or Heritage, you know, we could actually create that awareness of there's difference among this culture, you know, there's the Kadazan, the Ibans, you know, there's this difference. Like, for example, in schools, you know, how do they learn about other cultures? It's through textbooks, especially because Manjung, lah, you know, in KL, you know, through textbook. So from us, maybe we could use Roots or Heritage as one of those materials for them to understand a bit more. For example, like if you can actually bring a sape instrument, you know, to one of the schools here, and then we teach them via music, you know, the beauty of it, and you know, then they start to ask, hey, oh, this is from the which culture? I mean, from Sarawak, so they would understand more, and they would actually appreciate. Once they appreciate that the beauty of it through music, then I think we can have like a bigger family, you know, to understand and respect other cultures as well. That's my aim, lah. Before I ask the question, what kind of question do the native craftsman? This is my biggest aim, basically, because I feel like if I look at my son in school, and he's learning music, it's good, but he's learning the recorder, you know.
Oh yeah, didn't you all have to do that? Yeah.
Yeah, you know the recorder. I've seen a few people playing the recorder. You know, this one, a very famous guy, he was playing his recorder for the theme song of Titanic. But it was so sumbang, you know. That guy plays better than me, lah. You know? So again, what if we actually change it to like a sape or some poton, and then they would actually embed in their mind, oh, this is from Sabah, this is from Sarawak, and they would actually understand it, and then there won't be any question, oh, I don't know where Sabah and Sarawak is. Hopefully, like, this is what we aim for.
Or that you're the same state. Richard, Alina, what would you like to add?
Yeah, I think Onji has summed it up already. But you know, personally for me, I'm just excited to, because one of the locations that we're gonna be shooting will be in my kampung where my father is from.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited to show a bit of what who I am and stuff like that. And I guess the others as well for Onji and Alina will be the same. So yeah, as simple as that, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Alina?
For me personally, I'm very excited to go to Sabah, actually, because I haven't really spent much time there. And obviously, I've, you know, heard of or seen these instruments before. So it'd be really cool to meet the makers. And yeah, I'm really happy to, you know, to share the platform for the craft makers in Sarawak, because I've known them for a very long time, and they, you know, they love to tell stories and they have awesome stories to tell.
Mm.
And I always say that, you know, for our people, actually for any people, what keeps us alive is to share a story. And the more people, the more that people hear it and the more that people see it, it keeps us alive, really.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I'm speaking today to Alena Morang, who is a musician and an artist, Awanku Huzriuddin Bingiran Mahmudin, who is also known as OG from Stone Bay, and Richard Lawrence Gimbang, who or known as Rich, who is a vocalist from Estrange. And together they are collaborating for a project called Roads to Our Heritage. And we're going to find out more about that after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today are Alena Morang. She's a musician and an artist. Awanku Huzriuddin Bingiran Mahmudin, who is also known as OG from the band Stone Bay. And Rachel Lawrence Gimbang, also known as Rich, who is from the band Estrange. And together, they are collaborating on a project called Roads to Our Heritage, which aims to tell the stories of Sabah and Sarawak's traditional music craftsmen, and of course, through the eyes of musicians themselves. So, you know, before the break, you guys were sharing, you know, your aims for the project. Now, maybe you can tell, I mean, this is going to be quite an epic journey, over 1,000 kilometers on a bike. Tell me about that. You know, what have you guys plotted out in both these states?
Yeah, so what's going to happen? Because we're going to have like an entourage, you know, of the band. There's going to be like somewhere around 12 to 13 of us, okay. We're going to have videographers, and we have audio guys as well. And we have the team as well coming down. What's unique about this this journey is we're going to have three Triumph motorcycles. Mm-hmm. Basically, the three of us, which is Din and Hanafi from Estrange, and me, myself, will be riding the motorcycle. While and then Alena, Rich, and also Dr. Nadia, who's a UITM music faculty, they'll be using another four-wheel. I think hopefully it's a four-wheel. Yeah, Rich. So we're going to be going down to Sabah and first, and also after that, Baru Sarawak. Lah. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a bit of a delay going to Sabah this time around because I think because of the restrictions. We were supposed to do it in somewhere on in, I think, January. But we have to delay the schedule again. So right now we're looking at somewhere in March, mm-hmm, to come down to Sabah first, and then after that going down to Sarawak.
Yeah. Okay. And have you guys sort of like plotted out where in Sabah and Sarawak? I mean, you mentioned, of course, your own hometowns, your own villages, right? So that's really, yes, going to be exciting.
Yes.
What, yes, about the other places that you're thinking of?
For Sabah, we'll be looking at Bengawan, which is my dad's hometown.
So lovely.
Then we'll be going to Keningau, which is also my mom's hometown.
Oh, nice.
And then and also Tambunan, which is Rich hometown as well. And then there's a few places somewhere in Kundasang and Ranau we're gonna pass by. Mm-hmm. But again, we can just plot the journeys. But again, the adventure starts when we are there, you know.
Yeah.
And then for Sarawak, maybe, Alena, you want to mention about Sarawak?
For Sarawak, we've got, so we're stopping in Kuching. And just outside of Kuching, there's two kampongs. So we're going to stop there to see some of the masters there. And then we go on, drive through Cebu, and we'll stop in Miri.
Yeah.
And in Miri, there's another craft maker there. We can't go right into the original kampongs because that would be just a completely different journey. It takes about 14 hours off, yeah, you know, from Miri, yeah, inwards, yeah, and it's a bit risky also. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, now we can plan the locations, but again, the adventure starts when we are there.
Yeah.
The whole shooting, and suddenly, you know, which route should we take, the better route, and then, you know,
so
that's the adventure.
So you are leaving, I mean, some elements of it a bit to chance lah, just to see where's this journey going to take you. I mean, it's like some untraveled, go off the beaten path a little bit, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's more real, again.
Uh-uh.
Hence why we prefer documentary series. It's more emotional, it's more real. And then, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you're speaking to some of the craftsmen, and have you kind of figured out some of them that you are going to speak to? I mean, maybe you can tell us a little bit about those that you have approached, if that's how it's
working.
Yeah,
I mean, for Bengawan, we are we're currently talking to one of the gambus maker.
Right.
And his name is Awanku Muhammad Isham. I think he inherited his craft making skills from his late father, if I'm not mistaken. Again, we can only, once we meet him, then we really totally understand what he's actually doing. But we only have plans who we want to meet already. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for like for in Tambunan, Rich, so who was
Yeah, so I think it's difficult for us to actually go and meet them before shooting because of the restrictions, you see.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
if,
yeah.
If the situations were like not like now,
COVIDified,
yeah, probably gonna go recce and then find out well, how the shoot's gonna be like, talk to them, how we're gonna do things, but we couldn't. So right now it's very spontaneous. Everything is done from where we are, and you know, like OG said, we're just gonna like go to them and start shooting. But we've talked to them about, you know, going there and you know, instruments and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They know we're coming.
But, they don't know when.
Surprise.
Surprise, we're here.
But I think, it's excellent that you're going to also places that you have ties to, right? So I guess, you know, it wouldn't be so weird in that sense, right?
Yeah.
And, they know you're not trying to like exploit in any way. This is something you're trying to share. And I guess, you know, my other question would be, you know, why did you want the medium of documentaries? Why did you, you know, choose to have documentaries for this project? You know, why do you think documentaries are powerful?
I think it's a very powerful tool because it's very real, you know, documentary series. And I'm a big fan of any documentary series. You know, the indie documentary series, it could be item music, it could be, lately I've been watching a lot, Ewan McGregor, the actor, his series called A Long Way Up. It's quite where he and his other friend makes this journey from South America up until the USA with two motorcycles. And I mean, the adventure that they were going through and all the scenes that they capture, I mean, it's very real. And the problems that they face, as well, the issues that they face along the journey is very real, you know, compared to film where you have to really have it scripted. Mm-hmm. And it's not scripted. So for us as well, we kind of have a theme, but basically so the format of this documentary series would be like 6 episodes, okay? So each episode will feature one of us. So basically, like, for example, episode 2 will be Rich narrating. Episode 1 would be me narrating. Mm-hmm. And then like for episode 4, maybe Elena will be narrating the whole thing. So it has that mix of from a point of view from the musicians as well. Okay? So we're going to make it very, you know, very flexible at times as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's lovely that, you know, it's musicians asking musicians questions. It'll bring a whole different nuance to, you know, the answers and the whole different sort of perspective what about the rest? What about Elena and Rich? You know, are you fans of documentaries as well?
Yeah, I love documentaries. I think a lot of people are nowadays as well just watching things on their phone, on their laptop. So, you know, that's really the best way to get things across. And yeah, obviously with crafts, and craft making, it'd be so much better just to show it on video, right? And I think, you know, there'll be snippets of that video that maybe, you know, can be kind of referred to if other people want to start making the instrument also. Yeah. And there'll be Dr. Nadia with us as well, who's, you know, kind of documenting it academically. In a different way.
Yeah. And before I get to Rich, maybe you guys want to share actually, you know, what UITM's music faculty, you know, what part they play in this project actually, because you mentioned the doctor who's, you know, going to be following you guys as well.
Yes. So Roots to Our Heritage, one of our partners is UITM music faculty. So where Dr. Nadia, was the deputy dean in UITM music faculty. So basically, they're the research partners. So when you're doing a documentary like this, you know, we musicians, we know how to play and stuff like that. But we need someone to really, you know, guide us in terms of, you know, the research portion of it. I mean, it's very important, you know, so that we don't just go in blindly, but there's someone who's guiding us, who's, you know, who's an expert in, you know, in native instruments or native music. So I think Dr. Nadia adds the level of, you know, for us to, that is what we have to learn, yeah. You know?
Right.
So, yes.
Yeah, so it's a nice balance of sort of like instinct, you know, just going there and seeing what you get, but also having that academic background and backing to you know, really get it there. Sorry, Rich, I didn't get to ask you about, you know, are you a fan of documentaries?
Yeah, I think, like I said, OG already said it, and I think Alina said it as well. But yeah, I mean, documentaries, you know, it's very engaging as well. So when you're doing something, it really touches, you know, your feelings, you know, the way you describe things and stuff like that. So I think it's either a documentary or a movie. So I think for us, it was easier for us to do documentaries because we've been doing it as well for our music before this. So I think, you know, let's do something that we are used to instead of something new. So I think documentaries is the way to go.
Okay.
Have you guys seen this beautiful documentary called, I think it's called Music of Strangers.
No.
It's by Yo-Yo Ma. Do you know Yo-Yo Ma?
Yeah.
He's the famous cellist, right?
Yeah.
So he had this whole project. I guess it's a bit, I mean, you know, like Roads to Our Heritage is a project and documentary is one part of it, right? So he has this project called something like the Silk Road Project, maybe. So this documentary follows musicians from this different countries along the Silk Road. And I remember watching it on the plane and I was just in tears. And then I think they had it on Netflix again. And if you just see like just the stories of those musicians and the songs behind them and the place that they're from also, because for traditional musicians, place is very important, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was just incredibly powerful. You guys should watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, definitely going to go look on Netflix for that. And, you know, as you sort of alluded to, Alina, you know, besides the documentary element, there is also music element of it, right? You guys will be releasing music albums as part of this project. And for Estrange and Alina, I understand that you have released your latest singles respectively already. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I released a single at the end of January. It's called Menot. And Menot is it's a word in Kenya, and there's no direct translation to English, but it means something like the feeling of yearning and intense longing and thinking about someone or some place or something. And this song is directed towards the longhouse. So in the past, when our ancestors used to go on long journeys from, if you can imagine like the Kalimantan Malay border, so from our kampungs there, right out to the coast in Miri next to Brunei. So it would be weeks and months of travel. And this was a type of song that they used to sing. It's called Belian Menot, or Songs of Longing. And I just thought that, you know, a lot of people are probably feeling Menot now, a lot of people around the world, because I'm sure everyone's missing someone or someplace. And yeah, that's why we decided to release it at this time.
Sounds lovely. I mean, yeah, like everybody is longing for something at the moment, right? All of us are being separated. And so that's out already. Am I correct?
That's on YouTube and Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music and all the main digital platforms.
Okay, excellent. And Rich, tell me about, you know, what Estrange has already released.
We are releasing actually a song called Tujuan. The song is about depression. And why we wanted to write something like this is because, you know, recently as well, you know, going through the pandemic and stuff like that, I think a lot of people will go through depression or some sort of depression. We just wanted to point that out, you know. But in the song, it tells about how people are going through depression and also how to get through it all. And then, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you just get through it, it'll be fine. Stuff like that, yeah.
Okay. And I guess, you know, it's also helpful for people to know that others are going through it, right? It's that collective, like we're all kind of, yeah, we're all in different boats, but we're all kind of going through the same thing at the moment. And what about for Stone Bay, OG? What's going to be happening?
So just to add, like, because this project, Roads to Heritage, one of it will be three albums. So each one of us will come up with an album. So for Stone Bay, we are going to release a song. I mean, after Alena, after Rich, and then Stone Bay. Basically, the song is called Layang Layang. Basically, it's just finding inspiration, especially during this time, kan?
Mm.
Whatever it is that you do, you know, you have to find that inspiration. I know most people are like in a corner already, you know, but every time, like when you're in that corner, you try to find those inspiration, that's motivation to keep you, you know, to survive. And I think, yeah, the song is called Layang Layang. It's in BM.
Okay, all right. And it sounds really exciting, and I'm sure you guys are really psyched up for it as well. And
yes.
I guess it's going to be a little bit difficult navigating the pandemic and getting this done. But you mentioned March, right? That's the date you're kind of aiming for at the moment to start this.
Start, yes. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Hoping that there's no more restrictions.
Yeah, we have to wait.
We can't help it. Like, yeah, we have to wait. It's okay. Yeah.
Okay, but you know, say everything, you know, goes all right. You know, when can we, and hopefully it does, when can we expect to see this documentary, and how can we actually catch it?
So we plan actually with the, if we're looking at the schedule, we are looking at to release this actually in end of May. Which is during Kamatan and also Gawai, which is perfect, right?
Right.
You know, but again, because the delay in the production, we don't know. We might need to push it a bit more further. And it goes back to maybe during Malaysia Day. Again, then you talk about that. But again, but we need to find some timing, a date, which is very suitable as well. You know?
Of course, yeah.
And yeah. Okay. The platform that we're looking at is basically our agreement with Kementerian Komunikasi, because they are funding this project. So definitely it will be on for RTM, which is the first to premiere.
Excellent. Okay,
and then after that, when we are looking at other TV broadcasts, it's also OTT service. We're looking also on Unify TV to have this on. We'll see how it goes then. Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, you know, good luck. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited for it as well. And I guess, you know, is there any last message that you guys would like to leave us with? You know, anything at all? Maybe if anyone would like to collaborate or get in touch, is that something that you guys are open to as well with regard to this project?
Yeah, if I can say first, I think so far we're quite fortunate that there's a few organizations that actually are supporting us. For example, like Telekom Malaysia Berhad, Telekom Malaysia, who are the strategic partner. Triumph Motorcycles, which is a motorcycle partner. And then we also have Insta360. Insta360 is actually a camera. It's a China brand, but it's a global brand actually. So they are our creative partner. So during the trip later on, we're going to use Insta360 cameras on our motorcycle. So you can actually have views like in 360.
Oh, nice.
So we're unique. Yeah, it's going to be a unique shot, last scene. You can actually put it near the tires, you know, on our bikes. And I have it featured on the documentary series. And then we also have our lifestyle partners, attires actually, Sir Nasin and Tempatan Fest. And then we also have our director of photography, DOP, a very talented guy called Brian Casey Koju. He's very talented. So we're actually going to use his footages later on. He's going to come up with very nice very nice footages of scenes. So we're hoping that, you know, we're going to get those very epic scenes from him. Yeah.
Excellent. Alena and Rich, anything to add to that?
No, I think I'm all good. Actually, I'm just really looking forward to getting started and getting on the road. But I think if the last year has taught us anything, it's really hard to plan.
Yeah.
I mean, you can plan.
Oh, yeah.
But it's hard to execute.
Let's just hope everything goes well. But, you know, in the meantime, Rich, anything you wanted to add or no?
Yeah, like you mentioned, collaboration and stuff like that. You guys feel free to contact us at Facebook or any of our social media platforms. Call us. Contact us, our management will reply, and then think you can do something about the current situation or whatever it is. Just call us. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I've been speaking to Alena Murang, who's a musician and an artist, Awangku, who's Ryudin Pinggiran Mahmudin, who is also known as OG from the band Stone Bay, and Rachel Lawrence Gimbang, also known as Rich, who is the vocalist from Estrange. And together they are working on the project called Roads to Our Heritage, which is aiming to tell the stories of Sabah and Sarawak's traditional music craftsmen through the eyes of fellow musicians like themselves. So again, we'll keep in touch. And, you know, is there a website that's already available if, you know, people want to, or any social media channel that's, you know, dedicated to Roads to Our Heritage by any chance?
Oh, yeah. Yes. On IG, you can actually just search for Roads to Our Heritage.
Okay.
Or for Facebook and Twitter, that's RTOH 2020.
Okay. All right. So Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, yeah? Okay.
Facebook, yes.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much again. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can always search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.